You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
The only hope this country has is God's people. If God's people are not right, it's over for society. Today, I want to remind you that the first institution that God created was the home. He did not create government first. He created the home. And a society, when the home goes wrong, the country fails. Look at the Roman Empire. Look at the Grecian Empire. Look at all the empires of the world. When the home corrupted, the nation corrupted and fell. That's why we excavate properties and cities that were one time well-known cities, because the home corrupted. If you'll look, and I have an entire list, I won't even begin to read them, but if you look at the gods and goddesses of society, those gods and goddesses generally all deal with the fact, and I don't use this word in the pulpit, so let me get another word, is the immoral gods, how that you can be immoral with one another. Even one religion, a Muslim, says you can have, their God says if you kill a Westerner or a Jew, you can get 72 virgins in heaven. Religion always corrupts morally. And when she corrupts morally, it's an indication of the heart. Look what Romans says in Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Let's read verse 21, 2, and 3 together, shall we? Ready, begin. Because that when they knew God, professed themselves to be wise, they became fools. They began to worship mankind, began to worship animals. We'll go on. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. You know, around here, and I know you can't say anything about animals, but I wish people would spend as much time in their community, in their area where they live. I wish they'd spend as much time with their children as they do to pay people to walk their dogs. Every time you look, you'll see a man walking 2-3 dogs. He does it for a living. And I'm not criticizing what you do, but I have the stats. Do you know that we spend billions more on our animals than we do on worldwide missions with all religious organizations combined? And I grew up with dogs. I love dogs. I don't have time to take care of a dog now. We had tried to have dogs when we had kids, and we had to take the one dog to the vet because we allowed that dog, one of these little beautiful little small little things, just a beautiful white hair. Just love that little dog. Oh, so I think we call that one Buttons. Oh, it's cute as a button, just as great as could be. But I didn't want that smell in the house. And so I'd come home from work at night, I'd wash the dog every night and gave it a bath and took shampoo, you know. I didn't know you had to buy dog shampoo. I washed it, and then I blow dry. I love that dog, blow dry it. And it just was itching all the time. We took it to somewhere, maybe a vet. And they said, well, it's all, why? And my wife said, well, he washes it every night. Because you can't do that to a dog. Look, please have your dogs. I think it's wonderful if you can. I think it's great for kids to have dogs and cats. Well, no, not cats. I think it's great for your kids to have dogs. Dogs, especially one like me, a German Shepherd. And I'm both of those things. But when we begin to worship our animals, and that's what these people did. They changed the truth of God into a lie, worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And for this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. For even that women did change their natural use in that which is against nature. And likewise, the man, leaving the natural use of women, burned in their lust one toward another, man with man, working that which is unseemly and receiving themselves the recompense of the meat, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. And God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which were not convenient or not fit, being filled with unrighteousness, fornication, and wickedness, and envy, and murder, and debate, and deceit, and malignity, and whispers, and backbiters, and haters of God, and despiteful, and proud, and boastful, and vendors of evil things, and disobedient to parents without understanding, covenant breakers, and without natural affection, implacable and unmerciful. God said, I tell you what, once the slide starts, there's no stopping it. Turn with me to Colossians, our book for today, please. The book of Colossians today. And the book of Colossians, the first attack that Satan made in Genesis 3:1 was on the home. You know, the Bible, the Old Testament, there's two parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Covenant, the New Covenant. Testament means covenant. And the Old Covenant, under the law, the very last thing God says is Malachi 4 and in chapter 4 and in verse number 6, the last verse he says, I think it's 16, but the last verse he says in the Bible, then there's going to be 400 years of silence. And God's not going to speak and talk. You don't have any indication of communication with man other than, of course, the law that he had given for 400 years. And then you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John written by four apostles at the same time. The very last verse in the Old Testament, the very last verse in the Old Testament. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children. And the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Last word was your home. By the way, Luke 1:17 picks it up. The very first words after 400 years of silence is Luke 1:17. The same verse, the home. And ladies and gentlemen, America will cease to be, and she's quickly already ceased, because we have neglected God and our homes are a wreck. That message you preached last Sunday night on this social media, and I know we're on social media, I know all that stuff, but I tell you what, I think it does more harm than good. I thank God that in over 100 countries right now, people are watching this particular service. Every state in the union is watching. It's the grace of God. They listen to hear that choir and that orchestra and the singing and your singing. And I believe they listen to hear the word of God. But I'm going to tell you something, that you cannot raise a family on Facebook and whatever other, I don't know all the platforms. You cannot raise a family with social devices. Our school principal said last week, he has to be on this stuff all the time to make sure that we're keeping our college, Brother Oxendine, the same, in tune with holiness and godliness. But he said, I shut it off at 6 o'clock at night. All device. And I don't turn it on till 7 o'clock in the morning. You try that. I use my phone a lot. I don't have internet for all these things, but I get so many phone calls and texts. I don't have voicemail. I get so many throughout the day. And then I'll try to always go to the house phone, the church phone, and make my callbacks. But it pops up on Sunday morning. It said this last week I was an hour, and I didn't get how many minutes a day on it. So that's probably not a lot. I don't know how to do Facebook. I don't know how to do whatever it is. I don't know those things. And I'm not a good Christian like, oh, pastor, such a good, no. I think I'd get trapped. Or 40 years ago, I traveled for all these 40 years, normally a day or two a week, somewhere in America to preach. And I made a pledge to God over 40 years ago that I'd never watch a television alone. Say, what a good Christian. I'm talking about my own home. My wife's upstairs, I'm downstairs, I'm not watching the television. Yeah, you say, what a good Christian. No, I'm not a good Christian. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Who knows how I could destroy my wife and our children and our grandchildren and destroy this church because the frailty of the flesh. There has to be borders and boundaries. And dads, I'm going to come to you in a minute with the scripture. You're going to have to get in your home. Your home has to be priority. Your wife has to become your priority in your life. Her wish is your command. Have to get into this thing. Why'd you ever get married if you're not going to listen to her? We live in a play society. Your wife is your premier responsibility. After God, your wife is, you're just all the attention on her. You care for her, you love her, you support. Hey, ladies, why'd you get married to Ralph if you're not going to take care of him? He's not complete, the Bible says, without you. And so consequently, God sent you along as a help meet for him. But mother and dad raised as good as they could, as great as they could, but you came along to fulfill him, to complete him. Children, God's given you a dad and a mother not to debate them, but to listen to them. Stop this know-it-all. You don't know nothing. You don't know diddly squat. Your mama's already been where you're trying to go. Why the debate? Why the fight? Why the argument? And as girls get a little bit older, 12, 13 and 14, and you begin to test because now you're soon becoming two women in the house. And it's understandable. But you need your mother more now, right now, as a teenager, than you've ever needed your mother. And mothers and dads, we don't need to lecture as much as we listen. I'm all for rules. But rules and regulations without respect always leads to rebellion. Kids, our homes are going to hell in a handbasket right now. Mothers and dads say, well, I'm not from a good home. Well, then change it when you get married. Look what the Bible says in Colossians. The heart of this book, he's been talking about all these, our own mortifying our flesh and seeking God and the mysticism of that nation. And in chapter number 3, ladies, would you read verse 18, please? 18, ladies, are you ready? Chapter 3, verse 18, begin. Husbands. Verse 19, men, read it, please. Children, anybody that's a child, let's read it together. Ready? 20. Children. Dads, if you're a dad, read verse 21. Ready? Begin. Fathers. Bible makes it very clear. Wives, one word, submit. Husbands, one word, love. Children, obey. Fathers, provoke not. This is the heart of the Colossians. He said, your homes are a mess. I have before me today, and I have the book in my library written in 1787 by Gibbon, G-I-B-B-O-N. I pull it down quite often. Gibbon, as Rome fell, gives us the five causes for the rise, you've heard of the book, the rise and the fall of the Roman Empire. And Gibbon says this, the five reasons for our decay Number one, the rapid rise in the divorce of the home. When I say that, well, now we have more divorces than we have marriages. I want to say a word to the divorced people. You are not trash and you're not second rate in this church. The very fact that today, it always, I've been at this thing 54 years in the ministry. I've learned that the people that remain true to God and faithful are generally the, almost without exception, the innocent party. Trust me on that. You're sitting here without a wife or your second marriage or whatever it is, and someone, I guarantee it, the other party is denied God. So please, I don't want anyone in this church to ever feel like you are not what you're supposed to be as a member of this church. We're going to have to keep our homes together. I know we have messed up people. I don't know how some of you ladies put up with that narcissist. I don't know how some of you men put up with that bipolar narcissist woman. I don't know how. Sometimes they walk out on you, and I'm not for that at all, but I'm in my heart saying praise God. That poor guy suffered long enough. That poor lady suffered long, and please, I'm not advocating this. But in your life, whatever's gone wrong, I don't want you to spend your life, spend it all the rest of your life, how bad you are. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve to be in a church like this. None of us deserve to be in a church like this. From this pulpit to the pew, the pastor to the people. You say, well, I've messed up. I know. If you want to start advertising the mess ups of everybody else, let's get the screen on all of our lives. Let's start with you next week. How perfect have you been? And there's not a one in this room that's flawless. But the rapid rise of divorce. Second, the destruction of the Roman Empire was high taxation. Abraham Lincoln warned us that a nation will collapse when taxation gets so high. You have to work to July now to pay taxes. January through the first week in July, you're just paying taxes. Number three, and this is so important because this is where we live, even in the church, the mad craze for pleasure and party. What are we doing tonight? What event can we go to here? Let's go over here. A man and a woman, you'll never be satisfied until God's plan is intact. 6 days shalt thou labor. God honors work. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about fulfillment. If a man will not work, he should not eat. That's the word of God. We are on, and pastors, I would just like to ask you that are watching by the perhaps thousands, would you please take inventory? My church did not hire me to give me money to go play all the time. And your church, and maybe you got these great packages nowadays, but your package does not give you an exit every day so that you're not going to be there for your people. Yes, I thank God for vacations, I guess. But why does everything have to be posted online as play, 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 play? Exodus 32, when the people of God got so corrupt when Moses was gone on the mount talking to God, they gave themselves, the Bible says, to play. Life is not about play. Life is about responsibility. And if you'll see the number one area, the Generation Z, 12 to 27, they say the primary concern in our life is that we want no responsibility. We got to grow up. Number four was the moral decadence of the people. Everything was nasty. Number five, the decay of religion. I'm getting our text. Everything that this administration has done for 4 years has been against the home. When a president stands, and I heard with my words on my phone, when he stands and says, I have the largest, he didn't use the word sodomite, it's LGBTQW, whatever it is. He goes, I have the largest cabinet in history of sodomites. That's nothing to be proud of, Mr. Biden. His press secretary, first one ever, a lesbian. That's not a reflection of our nation. That's not who we're about. Other than the house of God, the most sacred public house in America, the White House, stands for purity, cleanliness, holiness. This president's for every issue about mutilating children's bodies without parents' permission. If you don't know that, you've got your head stuck in the sand, you're playing video games as adults. Watch what the guy's doing. Say, well, are you promoting Mr. Trump? Oh, no, I'm not promoting anything. He's sending his wife out this weekend to talk to the log cabin, the LGBTQ for the Republicans. He's one that said, well, states' rights about abortion. I'm not pushing either party right now. We're in trouble, ladies and gentlemen. When a president is the murder baby killer in the world, ask Pharaoh how that worked. Ask Herod how that worked, Mr. President. You cannot be baby butchers and have a free society and a moral society. Say, well, I wonder why these kids are taking guns and shooting. They've been taught, kill a baby. Might as well kill an adult. Might as well kill your parents. When a president says on Easter, we're celebrating the transvestite day instead of Easter. Try that on any other religion. When they dedicate an entire month of June to queer month, we're in trouble. That's against what we read in Romans chapter 1. I sure hope it's still on the radio, or whatever you call it. He said, well, when he signed this week Title 9, he said, everything Mr. Trump signed, I did away with it this week. What is it? It goes into effect from kindergarten to 12th grade beginning August of this year. That locker rooms, shower rooms, bathrooms are now all neutral gender. You can have a little girl go to school, be showering in junior high, and if a boy feels like that day he's a girl, he can go stand right next to her completely naked and shower. Something's wrong, President. The man's vile. The man's nasty. The man's dirty. That's becoming law in America just by his signature. The furies are out of control right now. Utah, this past week, it's just been a surge. The furies, and that's part of all this. If you feel like you're a fury, you feel like you're a dog, you feel like you're a cat, you feel like you're like, they get on the bus, they go to class. Why would you send people to your children? And these and they saw these little girls saying they scratch at us, they claw us, they bite us. So well, I said, okay, then what about the email on my desk this morning? New England. My kids, brought up in a good home, good Christian home. I've had them in these schools, and now one announced, just a little kid, I'm a transvestite. The other one says, I'm a furry. We're sending kids like it's, I'm up promoting Halloween. We're sending kids like it's Halloween every day. Yeah, scratching. I'm a boy, but I'm really a girl. Hey, check the chromosomes. I don't care what medicines they give you and what mutilation they give you. The chromosomes never change. No, President, you are wrong. You're ruining our children. And when you raise your hand, God says there's judgment coming to a man that will raise his hand, suffer the little, allow the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. We, children are our responsibility. Children are ours to care for, to love, to protect. We do all these stupid, crazy, foolish, godless things to make every sin freedom. Look what the Bible says. Wives. I wonder why it starts with wives. Why didn't it start with husbands? I'll tell you why. Because wives are the heart of the home. You get it wrong with wife, you get it wrong. Ralph, we are normally a little slow. And we have to have some woman to help guide us in this thing of the marriage and family. And I believe that's so true. There's a heart about mom. Read about it, Proverbs chapter 31. Wives, submit. Submit is not that a wife is dumb or stupid or ignorant. Submit is a word, it's a military word to rank under. Place under. Some privates may be smarter than the generals, but when you go into the military, you rank under. They might have greater smarts in computers and in mathematics and all these different subjects. I'm a great example. If I tried to stay up with you, dear people, with your smarts and your brains in medicine, and the computers from this area, the Silicon Valley, it would be a laughing. I can't keep up with you. But I'm not supposed to keep up with you. I'm supposed to know this book. Amen. And ladies, you might be smarter than your husband, more intelligent. Men can think out of one side of the brain. Ladies can think out of both sides. That's why they can do multitask at the same time. And a man, don't interrupt me. I'm doing one thing. God says you're to submit, to rank under. Look what he says. Watch this here. As it is fit. Fit. What's that word? Say it. Three little letters. Say it together. Fit in the Lord. Fit means like a puzzle. So you take God as a piece of the puzzle, the main piece, and then father and husband and children, family. And God says, you're going to have to fit in the puzzle. Ladies, independence will destroy a home. I'm not listening to him. He's so stupid. I'm not listening. He's so dumb. He probably is. I resemble that remark. But God says, you're going to have to fit. Ladies, I can't. No husband can make you fit. You're going to have to choose to. And it must be, I think, perhaps, in my estimation, the hardest quality out of all these husbands' wives to fit into a puzzle, especially, men, when you haven't given her any opportunity to respect what she's fitting in. You're a yeller. You're a screamer. You're out of control. You're a big baby. You want your way. You're all upset. And you're asking your wife, fit in a puzzle, woman. Sit down and shut your mouth. What's that about? See, we lose. I don't understand where, remember back in the, what was it, the 70s, the ERA movement, Equal Rights Amendment for Women. I don't understand where these women's groups are. Who's protecting the women in the locker rooms? Where are these people? It shows you that wasn't their true agenda. The true agenda was to destroy the home. The first one says, wives, submit. What's the second one? Husbands, what? Hey, fellas, that's your job. Just do that. Just love. The word husband, Latin word, house, band, You band the house together. Don't leave it all not tied together. You tie your home together, sir. I don't know about a man that does not want to get home from work to see his wife and kids. I don't understand a guy like that. You band it together. And the word, Ephesians 5, the husband is the head of the wife, doesn't mean, hey, say, well, I'm smarter than you. No, there's nothing in there, fellas. The head message simply means he sets a direction. Women are, they're so boisterous most of the time because you give no direction. Where are you going spiritually? Where are you going financially? Where are you going socially? Where are you going all these different academically, socially? Where are you going at all these different areas of life, sir? Then you wonder why she's running her own agenda. You haven't given her an agenda. And by the way, it's not like a dictator either. Right. Well, bless God, sit down here. Here's where we're going. Why don't you talk to her? Because she's a helpmeet. She's part of the puzzle. But ultimately, somebody's got to make a decision. Major decisions, I think you sit down with your wife. Major decisions, do we buy, is not, do we buy 2% or do we buy whole milk? What do you think we should buy? Let's have a meeting about it. Let's have prayer over it. Just go buy something. I think you're going to do something major. You sit down with your wife and say, honey, you talk to me. We've not had a perfect marriage. Because one of us does not think like a man. Years ago, there's so many things we've separated in life. I've separated the inside and the outside. Predominantly, whatever, she wants the walls of the house pink and purple. I don't want that. But inside, if that's what she wants, that's what we're going to do. Why fight about it? And we're not going to have pink and purple. She's not going to allow that. I'm the outside. Maybe it's not going to work with you. I have no opinion about vacations. Wherever she wants to go, I want to go. And when she decides what we're going to do, I'll change it the next 22 times when she changes. So we don't go on vacation very much. Saves a lot of money. I'm to love her. That means a commitment to meet needs. Now, you young people have not been married long enough to know this. Brother Van Dyke, you've been married 67 years. Brother Nikolai, I think it's 66. Brother Art, all you people have been married so many years. The shoe's going to drop for all of us one day. I've got 51 years. One night, somewhere along the line, Brother Hardy, you've been married so long, Colonel. One night, the shoe's going to drop. One day, the shoe's going to drop. And she will be sleeping alone in our house, or I'll be sleeping alone in our house. I tell you what, I don't want to have conflict. I love her too much. I don't want it to be when I die. She says, praise God, freedom at last. You've heard me say, I've asked her repeatedly, honey, if I go first, I don't know about you getting married right away. If you want to, go ahead. And she says, well, honey, don't worry about that. I said, he can do anything, but don't let him wear my clothes. She said, don't worry, you're a 42 long, he's a 40 regular. She's already got it figured out. She said, I'll tell you what, I'll be taking applications down here, and I want to know about the life insurance policy is what I want to know about. Or one time she said, I said, you think you'll remarry? She goes, why would I want to do that again? That's probably the right answer right there. Can I tell you something? You better love that wife and love your husband and love your children while you have them. And many years ago, one of our college girls came to college for a year or two. She was murdered this week by her husband. Then he shot and killed himself. I can't get that family, all those that whole entire family so close to me. We have relatives in the school for them. I can't get out of my mind last week, the week before, that little 9-year-old boy, and they have cousins in our college, missionaries in Mexico, the house burned to the ground, and that little boy didn't get out. My heart just so, it's just overwhelmed with grief. I can't get it out of my mind. Middle of the night, I wake up. Hey, you better love these people while you have them. I don't understand my wife. Well, duh. Certainly, sure you don't understand her. She doesn't understand herself sometimes, and vice versa. Stop holding everybody to your standard. I'm so far out of time. Masculinity is gone with men. Leadership is gone with men. Parental, wife, men, stop the play. Wives, one word, wives, say it together. Wives, husbands, children. The best definition I know is Patch the Pirate. That great songwriter, he's home with the Lord now. Our elementary kids can spell it and they can do it in sign language. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Doing exactly what the Lord commands and doing it happily. Action is the key, do it immediately. Joy you will receive. O-B-E-D-I-E-N-C-E. Obedience is the very best way. The greatest joy that a child ought to learn is the joy of obedience the first time. Son, take the garbage out. Oh, I said, oh, it was me. By the way, he obeyed, but he didn't do the other word. Honor thy father and mother. When you complain and gripe, shut doors. Children, I'm going to tell you something. Your adult life is going to mirror your child life. The greatest obstacle I have in my life is dealing with adults that the root was never dealt with in their home. It always comes up. Unless miraculously, I think of our Spanish pastor and his dear sweet wife, Jolene. And you know the story, how the parents were put in jail. Relatives put in jail, her hands still show the fact that she was set on fire by her own family as a child. That lady's a Proverbs 31 lady. Why? Because she allowed God to give her victory from her upbringing. Dad walked out. Mom walked out. Parent passed away. All these things. They're all so grief. I cannot imagine. I look at how weak I am as a Christian, and I had a perfect home. The four men that we're ordaining tonight all come from perfect homes, good dads, good mothers. But we all can say, we know our flaws. We have no excuse. We have no excuse. God allowed, for some reason, you to have some testing in your life as a child. I guess he knew I'd fail. If I had a home situation like many of you, I'd be long gone and dead. I just know me. I admire you folks. What some of you have gone through, it's terrible. Dad's arrested for screaming and yelling, and I was over here years ago, Saturday visiting, and on Friday night, every single window from the inside out was on the outside. Somebody got in a rage and broke every window in that house, every window, laying out. No kid ought to have to live in that environment. No wife ought to have to face that. No wife should have ever faced this man coming in her home this week, leaving a little boy That family, I just ache for them. Taking the life of that young 36-year-old girl. What a fool. And then he says, and we're done. Fathers, provoke not. Don't irritate. Don't agitate. Dads, I know it might be the mom that's the evil witch of the north sometimes. Dad, you have no right to provoke or irritate your family. It ought to be, Dad's coming home. Mom ought to be able to say, Dad's almost home. Kids ought to be excited. Dad's coming. Mom says, and I don't know how you do this now. She can track it. Dad's two blocks away. The kids ought to be excited. Daddy's coming. Pastor Logan. Pastor long enough to know that at some homes, it's fear. He's coming. Shame on us. So we blame Mr. Biden for all these things. We blame him. He's not the problem. He is a reflection of the problem. God's people. Gonna have to get your home together at this altar today. So if I come forward, everybody know my home's a mess. No, if you go forward, I know there ought to be many parents. Maybe your children are surrounding and praying today. God, help our home to be what it ought to be. We had such a wonderful home, honey. You know we did. Those three kids, all serving God, preachers, 14 grandkids. Had a 19-year-old grandson preaching in Kansas last week. Have a high school senior who's 18 preaching junior church today in their church. Have a son that's preaching, a son-in-law that's a preacher, another son-in-law that's a preacher. I tell you what, we are so blessed. So blessed. But I don't want my days, whatever are left, to be the old mean man's coming to town.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.